Well, we've had several very high Sundays here, feast Sundays. We've had Ascension Sunday, and that was followed up by Pentecost. And then last week we celebrated the Feast of the Holy Trinity. So we've had three, and that was all coming on the end of Easter season. And they have been wonderful, wonderful feast Sundays. And I can't help but look back. Ascension Sunday. Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father. But if you'll remember, there's one thing that stuck in my mind there. Jesus said not just that He will live in you, but He and the Father. Jesus and the Father will live in you. And then, of course, that was followed by the coming of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Sunday. And last Sunday, we focused on the Holy Trinity, which really just kind of wrapped everything up, where the Holy Spirit also lives within us, dwells in us. So think about it. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all living within your body, all there to make us new. But what does that mean for us? I think today's Sunday helps us to understand that a little bit better. We are now into the season of what I think since the 70s has been called the season of Pentecost in the historic lectionary, which we use, the one-year lectionary. This is called the season after Trinity, or the season after Holy Trinity. And this season, the longest season in the church year, really focuses on what about us? You know, in a day and an age when we're really not supposed to talk a lot about us, it's always about something else. It's interesting that the largest season of the church year really deals on what does it mean for us? And today's lesson, the lesson from John in his first epistle that he wrote, really focuses on how the Trinity changes us. And it's all about love. As a matter of fact, John's writing today in his epistle is that God's love really abides in us with the Holy Trinity. It is love that fills our hearts so that we can love. And not just love anybody, but John focuses today that we can love even the unlovable. That's hard for us. John writes that the results of God's love for us is that our love is made complete. Now, you may have heard me say this before. Perhaps it's been something that has been in your brain for a while and you're not really sure that you want to agree with it. But I remember sitting in the class at seminary and the professor saying, without the love of Jesus Christ in your heart, without true faith, without the Spirit indwelling you, you can't honestly, truly love someone. That's a big pill to swallow. Because there's lots of people out there that do wonderful things. There's lots of people out there that have children and they love them dearly and they're not Christians. But John today writes that love from Christ is perfect love. I think it's different. It's different than what people typically say, oh, I love chocolate cake. It's quite a bit different than loving your child, would you not agree? I love that musical group Muse. They are fantastic. Quite a bit different than loving your brother, sister, mom, or dad. And John takes it a step further. The love we have comes from God. It's a different, complete, perfect kind of love. Vastly different than what people today even comprehend as love. God is love. Think about that. I mean, we know that God loves us, but have you ever thought about God is love? That is what He is comprised of. He is love, and love proceeds from Him. So if God is living in you by way of the Trinity, then it only makes sense that love proceeds out of us. It starts to take over our body. We start to think differently, we act differently, and we care for people differently than those who do not have God as a part of them. We love because He first loved us. He first loved us. From the beginning of time, God said, I love you. Before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. Every hair upon your head, everything that you would need, maybe not everything you'd want, but everything that you would need, He gives to you freely out of His gracious love for us. Now think back for those of you that are parents. It doesn't matter what age your child is. You give them everything they need. You're always there for them. You know, it starts out when they're little, a little scrape or a bump. All they need is a kiss, maybe a little bit of ointment. And even the ointments today show love. Come on, tell me. When I was little, what was that stuff called? Mercure? Yeah, that stung. There was no love in that. But it did. It helped to get rid of the bacteria and the things that would cause festering wounds. Now we got Neosporin. You wipe it on. It takes care of the bacteria. And as they get older, they have different needs. Girls and boys have different needs. Boys like to go out in the driveway. You like to get roughed up playing hockey. Girls just want a hug. They just want you to know that you love them. If we have this ability to show this kind of love to our children, and I'm sure all of you understand what I'm talking about, think how much love the Father has for us. Not only the love the Father has for us, but if God is indeed love, which I say is true, from the Scriptures tell me so, think of that love that radiates in our body and comes out of us, beaming. We truly have a wonderful name for our congregation, Lighthouse, because we should be radiating, and I think we do a good job of it, radiate God's love for the community. We haven't seen major fruit from that endeavor, but it is our job to plant. Someone else may water and someone else may see the fruit, but all we do is radiate His love in kindness, generosity, doing good deeds, being here on Sunday for those that want to worship with us. These are all good acts of love. We should let His light shine from us, each and every one of us. You put one candle in a room and that room does light up. You put, what do we got here today, 65 candles in a room, and it's much brighter. Together we make such a bigger impact than any one of us could. And thus, John continues on, that we should have confidence, no fear. Do you remember back in the 90s, I used to like the little, there was always little phrases about no fear. I think the company's bankrupt now. Obviously they didn't fear the accountant either. But they had no fear. And they had little existential slogans that they would put up. My favorite one, if you've seen this one, my favorite slogan that they had was, give blood, play hockey. Isn't that a good slogan? No fear. Don't dream it, be it. All these little slogans. But John today tells us, this love that is inside of us, this love that completely consumes our innermost being, should drive all of our fear from us. What fear? What is the greatest fear I think we have? Last I had heard, death was the greatest fear in all of mankind. As Christians, there's no way I can sit here and say, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I could tell you that, and that's the truth. But we do fear, not so much death, but the process of dying. But John tells us, think of the confidence we have with the Trinity living inside of us, this love emanating from our being. It allows us to know Jesus is Lord, and He's gone to prepare mansions for us, beautiful, wonderful mansions. Today's gospel reading was the story of Abraham and Lazarus, and I preached on that last year. But the one thing that really fits in with today's sermon is there is something after this. This is temporary. That is eternal. And we have no fear. We know we will live with our Lord and Savior in heaven forever. And that's a beautiful thing. We really shouldn't fear death. I'm looking forward to that. I want to stay here as long as possible, but I'm looking forward to seeing what beautiful, wonderful, glorious home that my Lord has prepared for me in heaven. So it's going to be spectacular. And this love drives our imitation. I liked this when I read it in the lesson. Our imitation of Christ. To be like Christ. Charles Caleb Colton. I never knew this until this week. Charles Caleb Colton is credited with saying, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. I've had so many people ask me, this wonderful thing that Christ has done for me, I want to do something. I want to give him something back. The easiest thing is to say, well, praise him. Give him your prayers. Give him your time. Give him a portion of your day to say, thank you, Lord. And coming off of this lesson today, I'll add another thing to it. Imitate him. Flatter him. Be like Christ. Do as he did. Treat the people that all the religious authorities at his time pushed off to the side and treated like lowlifes. He treated them with kindness. He didn't yell at them. He didn't throw things at them. He didn't talk behind his back about them to his disciples. But instead, he loved them dearly. I think that's a good thing for us, to be like Christ. Praise him, give him glory, thank him, give him a portion of your time, and when you're out in the world, act like him. As difficult as that is for us. An imitation. He was a model of exemplary living. We should try to be as close to that as possible. Will we do it 100% of the time? No. But we should try. Paul really digs into this in a couple of his epistles. Paul writes, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children." Act like them. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes, "You became imitators of us and the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit." This is that love coming out of our body. And this love perfects our love. It makes our love complete. I said earlier that love is a different type of love. Well, John takes it to another level here. He says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he's a liar." That's harsh words. It's the truth. We don't want to hear it. Don't hate. This love allows us to love the unlovable, those we cannot love. Now, I'm certainly not saying if you're in an abusive relationship, you should say, well, Jesus says love, I better just walk right back into it. It's not what it's saying at all. But there's forgiveness involved, repentance, moving on. You know, the exact opposite of what John's talking about here today is summed up in this hate. When you hate someone, when you absolutely will not forget and forgive the things they've done for you, you're going to hold it in your heart and you're going to remember it every day, it eats away at you. It starts to consume your innermost being. And it fights with the love that is emanating from the Trinity living inside of you. There's literally a war going on in your body, and you can feel it when you wake up in the morning. Hatred will destroy you from the inside out. You can't let it take over your lives. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who's my neighbor? Everyone. Everyone's your neighbor. The story of the Good Samaritan is the story of someone who helped out another that typically wouldn't have been helped out. You can help people by praying for them. You can help people out by giving them financial assistance. You can help them out by just being there and listening. It all comes from the heart. Love them. Imitate Christ. I know that saying kind of got run into the ground, what would Jesus do? But there's a lot of truth behind that. When you come across someone that you're having a difficult time forgiving, what would Jesus have done? He would have forgiven them and said, go and sin no more. When you come across that person that you just really want to walk around, what would Jesus have done? More than likely, he would have walked right up to them. Sometimes it takes us out of our way, off the beaten path. But sometimes that's the exact path that Christ wants us to follow. So open your hearts and let that love just emanate from you. We're a small congregation, and we're getting bigger week after week after week. And Freedom knows we're here. I saw it during that Memorial Day celebration. People came up, they talked to me. They said, we know where you are. Ah, that's the first step, right? Your lighthouse. Ah, second step, now they know our name. We're there and they know who we are and they know our name. Now they know that I'm Pastor Whalen. It's the third step, acquaintance. And I gave people blessings. And I'll be at any other function that they want me to participate in. And they'll know. And you'll see. You'll see. They'll start going somewhere. May not be here, and that's fine. Just get to church. Go worship your Lord. And that's a sign of God's love emanating from this church here. So go out into the world. Go into the mission field and spread God's love. This week and all weeks. Amen.